At Vistaprint, we know you've got that idea for your business, like the one that nails the trade show, levels up your brand, or makes your team say,
"We're really doing this."
But an idea is just an idea until it's printed on
signage, giveaways, custom apparel.
Once it's
in my hands, on my team, out in the world,
then it's happening.
It's so happening.
Vistaprint has thousands of products, easy design tools, and real support to turn that idea into something possible. Print your possible with code NEW20 for 20% off your first order at vistaprint.com.
What's up? I'm Draymond Green, and when I'm not hosting the Draymond Green Show, I'm usually working out in the gym and on the court. Anybody can have one good day in the gym, but the key is recovery. That's why athletes are taking Omega XL Sport. Omega XL Sport is a premium recovery supplement powered by green-lipped muscle oil extract with three key clean ingredients and backed by over four decades of research. It's NSF certified for sport, which is such an amazing distinction. It's free of 290 banned substances trusted by athletes and recognized by major sports organizations. My body has taken a beating over the years, and recovery becomes more important the longer you stay active. That's why Omega XL Sport caught my attention. Omega XL Sport helps support your body's natural recovery process, helping reduce post-workout muscle soreness, inflammation, and supports mobility so you can stay consistent when it matters most. Less time feeling beat up, more time doing what you love. Omega XL Sport. Extra strength recovery now available at GNC and GNC.com.
Summer routines live or die by how easy they are. And honestly, if something takes too much effort, I'm out. That's why Grunes is my go-to. It's one daily pack of gummies covering my greens, vitamins, and minerals. Plus, it has 6 grams of prebiotic fiber, which is more than 2 cups of broccoli. No mixing powders, no giant pills, no hassle. Just rip open the pack and I'm done. They taste good and it makes it easy to stay on top of my health, even when life gets busy. Save up to 52% off with code PODCAST at Grunes.co. That's code PODCAST at Grunes.co.
We're all talking during the break. It feels like here at some point we've all been ripped into Love Island now, Jax. So you're watching on your own?
That was a one-time thing last night, just because I was curious to see whatever this with the guys by themselves.
Okay. I mean, it was supposed to be a big episode. I got ripped into watching the exact same episode, right? I move. Now I can't get away. I'm trying to unpack one of the rooms in my house, and my girlfriend's like, "Oh, I'm gonna watch Love Island." I'm like, "Okay, cool. That's fun. Like, you go do that. I'm going to do this." And she's like, "I swear to you, I was getting like 2 minutes at a time. I would go, I would start to unpack a box, and I would hear the TV pause, and I would just get a, "Jake, come here. You got to see this." I'm like, get up, walk over. I basically had to watch the entirety of the episode. There was no way around it. I'm watching the entire thing. I'm not even anti-reality TV, but I mean, the entirety of this show is the idea of, I mean, you basically, to go on it, it feels like you have to have about 11 brain cells when it comes, at least emotionally, you have to have 11 brain cells. There was something, Jax, you might be able to call back to the episode yesterday. It was one of the bombshells that was dropped in. It was whatever the blonde one was. She said something. She was like, "Oh, wow, he's really smart and he's intelligent, too."
I didn't even catch that yesterday when I was watching.
Or she said, "He's cute and he's also handsome." And I literally looked at my girlfriend and I was like, really? Like, this hard? And look, you,
Jake,
would not,
like you
be
said,
believe how attractive he is as well.
Jake, you said it. They're not there for their brain, okay?
Definitely not. I mean, all very good looking people on this show for a reason. But everybody wants drama.
You know, not even though.
No, not really. Not every single one of them.
Not like blown away.
No, like some of them. Yeah, I mean, attractive people definitely. Like, I wouldn't consider them, any of them, like unconventionally attractive, or like unattractive, or conventionally unattractive, I guess is the combination of words I'm looking for there. I don't think any of them are like a crazy unattractive. But I'm sitting there and it's just like my girlfriend's getting mad at me because I'm sitting here and I'm playing logic. Like, I'm just sitting there going, I mean, all the existing girls got mad because they dropped in 6 new girls and the guys are enjoying their time.
They would
time.
Do the same thing, though. Like,
exactly.
It's like mind-boggling.
I said the exact same thing, Jack. If they switched roles, the girls would be doing the exact same thing. Even my girlfriend, logical. More logical than the people, obviously, in the show. She goes, "No, they wouldn't." I go, "Yes, they would. It's literally why they're here. Like, this is the entire point of the show."
Did you see the preview for the next one? They got a boat of 12 new guys coming. Yeah. And they're just like,
yeah, and they're all juiced up. But now it's payback, Jax. Now.
Yeah, now it's like, payback. Oh, now I'll show that. Come on.
Yeah, you would have done the exact
same. It's ridiculous.
Give me a break. Give me an absolute.
It's a ridiculous show.
Absolutely absurd. So now, yeah, now I'm just going to be wrapped into. I'm not going to sit down.
Jake, I'll be texting you every night.
And don't worry. There's about no way I'm going to have a chance to avoid this. I'm going to be wrapped into the episodes at least like 75%. You might text me about something and be like, oh, no, I was actually unpacking a room in my house at this point. But I probably got pulled in every 3 minutes because something crazy has happened. And listen, like, I'd be sitting here lying to you if I said I didn't have a little interest. Like, when I come back, I'm like, wait, so she said what? Who was she talking to before? Like, I always do this. This is when I get into reality TV. I never want to sit down and watch it. Never. Never going to sit down and watch it on my own. Even if I'm sitting there, like, I'll be on my phone. But I'm going to stop for a second and be like, can you believe he just said that? That is absolutely ridiculous. Like, I always get this, like, half investment into it. And it's the worst. And then I just get updates around everything that I missed. I'm going to get updated on. I'm going to be like, I don't care, but I kind of care.
Is she watching it without you tonight? Or is she waiting for till you get back?
It's a great question, Jax. I don't know. I actually have no clue. I'll text her. I'll text her between them. We'll find out next segment whether or not she's going to watch it without me or not. If well, not,
now
I'm
you're
going to
look really intrigued if you're texting her about it.
It's probably true. I'm going to text her and be like, are you watching Love Island without me tonight? She's going to be like, I'll wait. I'm like, no, honest. Please watch. Please, I beg. So this is what it's all divulged down into, is reality TV. But yeah, all that to say, I tried to unpack my house and it's not working very well. Very poor. But to go back, a lot of things happening around the idea of Giannis and this idea that he could be getting dealt by the NBA trade deadline. In fact, feels like that's definitely the way that we're going. And Shams Charania was on Get Up this morning and was breaking this down and the fact that the trade is imminent.
Sources tell me a trade and a resolution is coming for the Milwaukee Bucks with Giannis Antetokounmpo before the NBA draft on Tuesday night. The Bucks are in serious conversations with two finalists, the Miami Heat and the Boston Celtics. Both teams are Giannis's preferred trade destinations, but both of these packages are different deals. With Boston, it's Jaylen Brown-led package. It's around a veteran player, obviously a superstar caliber player. In Miami, it's a group of cost-controlled players, rookie-scale contracts, significant draft capital in that deal. And so I do want to make this clear, though. Whichever deal occurs, whether it's today or tomorrow, it is going to be a one-to-one deal. It's going to consist of Milwaukee and likely one of these two teams, and that's how it's going to be. There's no third team, fourth team in any construct. Giannis, my understanding right now, he is ready to be traded. Either Boston, either Miami, and we'll see what happens over the next 24 hours.
Now, sitting here and listening to this as a Cavs fan, I'm very torn in the idea that, I mean, realistically, if Giannis gets sent to the Heat, it's like, it's water off my back. Like, I don't care, really. Like, go have fun in Miami, Giannis. Like, I really don't think anything is going to happen. Jax, are you all of a sudden afraid of the Miami Heat with Giannis?
Not really, because, no.
Like, more respectable team in the East? Definitely. Do I think they're a playoff team? I would assume so, right? Especially if they don't have to give up Bam. If they're somehow, some way, I mean, the way Shams is describing it, a lot of young players, a lot of friendly contracts and draft capital, they keep Tyler Hero. Okay, like, again, the team is interesting. I still don't think they're going to go win the East. They're just a more respectable team at that point. They're somebody I take more seriously. But you get to the flip side of this. Giannis going to Boston, at least for me, I said it before a couple of weeks ago. Like, you might as well just blow up the Cavs at that point.
And they just get rid of Jaylen Brown. Like, yeah. It's Jason Tatum, Derek White, Giannis. Yeah, that's a problem.
That's a big problem. Like, I mean, we already look at it right now. Jaylen Brown and Jason Tatum are essentially serving a very similar role on the team. I mean, they play a very similar style of game. They are different players, but in a lot of ways, I mean, the Cavs could get either of them. I'm sure they would be elated, but they're basically just stacked on talent at the wing and a little bit of shy on talent. I mean, they're decent at guard, but they are definitely lacking talent when it comes to bigs. So, yeah, you spread out that team a little bit. You get a player who's going to be 7 feet tall and be, I mean, a monster inside and be an elite threat. Yeah, I mean, Boston, I think, immediately rises probably above the Knicks. They're the favorites in the East. I think already you could probably look at next year and say that, you know, Boston has a legitimate chance to be one of the favorite teams in the East and compete with the Knicks in that category. Giannis sends them right over the edge. So I think as we sit here, it is an immediate, like, I'm all in on the idea because the Cavs are out of this deal, right? It feels like they have made their stance pretty clear. I don't think they want to move on from Evan. I don't think that's something they're currently considering. And if they're going to hold on to Evan Mobley, they're not going to get Giannis. Okay, like, we have to accept the fact that if you were rooting for that, I personally was not, but if you were, that probably is out the window. We don't expect that to happen anymore. All of the reporting is telling us, Shams is telling us, it is going to be one of these two teams getting the deal done. Again, you now have stake in the game. Like, the Giannis deal is not a, oh, well, it's the rest of the NBA, Cavs aren't involved, let's just focus on us. That's not a focus on us type of move. Again, to focus on yourself, you do have to pay attention to the rest of what's happening right now. If the Cavs were playing in the Western Conference, I understand the Knicks just won the title, and we've seen, I mean, the East be, like, we just watched the Pacers without Tyrese Halliburton play game 7 against the Thunder. We watched the Celtics win. If the Cavs were in the West, I would have been telling this team to blow it up probably for the last 2 years, 3 years. I mean, like, there's no point in doing this. You are just not nearly as talented as the other teams that are currently competing in this conference. I think this is the type of move where Giannis goes over to Boston. You're going to start to have a similar feel. You're like, hold on, so we just got swept by the Knicks. We got embarrassed by the Pacers a year before that. The Celtics have already shown that in their current form, they're better than us. We're assuming they're getting better. We only assume that they're going to be better than us still. You're capping yourself out as a top four team. And that's without taking into consideration of the Pistons and a lot of the other teams that were competing at the top of the East this year and just throwing them to the wayside. And again, those teams are likely to get better as well. So the East just gets much tougher. And this is the type of deal where, yes, as a Cavs fan, you have a lot of stock of what happens here. It likely determines whether or not the Cavs are legitimate contenders next year. I mean, unless they're going to go through and do something that, I mean, shocks us all and make a move and switch up the core four again, which, again, all signs are pointing to the fact that the Cavs are likely rolling through to start the season at the very least with the core four intact. But if you're going to do that, I just don't see much value.
At Vistaprint, we know you've got that idea for your business. Like the one that nails the trade show, levels up your brand, or makes your team say,
we're really doing this.
But an idea is just an idea until it's printed on
signage, giveaways, custom apparel.
Once it's
in my hands, on my team, out in the world.
Then it's happening.
It's so happening.
Vistaprint has thousands of products, easy design tools, and real support to turn that idea into something possible. Print your possible with code NEW20 for 20% off your first order at Vistaprint.com.
What's up? I'm Draymond Green, and when I'm not hosting the Draymond Green Show, I'm usually working out in the gym and on the court. Anybody can have one good day in the gym, but the key is recovery. That's why athletes are taking Omega XL Sport. Omega XL Sport is a premium recovery supplement powered by green-lipped muscle oil extract with 3 key clean ingredients and backed by over 4 decades of research. It's NSF certified for sport, which is such an amazing distinction. It's free of 290 banned substances trusted by athletes and recognized by major sports organizations. My body has taken a beating over the years, and recovery becomes more important the longer you stay active. That's why Omega XL Sport caught my attention. Omega XL Sport helps support your body's natural recovery process, helping reduce post-workout muscle soreness, inflammation, and supports mobility so you can stay consistent when it matters most. Less time feeling beat up, more time doing what you love. Omega XL Sport. Extra strength recovery now available at GNC and GNC.com.
The days are longer, the calendar's filling up, and I want to feel as good as this beautiful summer weather. That's why I've been loving Grooms. It's one daily pack of gummies that covers my greens, vitamins, minerals, and even has 6 grams of prebiotic fiber. So I don't need to juggle a complicated wellness routine on top of everything else. They taste amazing. They're easy to toss in my bag on the go. Plus, they're vegan, gluten-free, and HSA FSA eligible for reimbursement. Save up to 52% off with code PODCAST at Grooms.co. That's code PODCAST at GRUNS.co.
Spring is finally here, and it's that time of year when plans start becoming real. Trips are getting booked, the calendar is filling up, and the energy is shifting. Make this season count. By starting right now, you'll hit summer already feeling more confident speaking and understanding a brand new language. Whether you're prepping for a dream vacation, reconnecting with your family heritage, or just finally checking learn a new language off your bucket list, Rosetta Stone is the way to go. They've been the trusted leader in language learning for over 30 years because they skip the boring stuff. There's no memorizing random vocabulary lists or leaning on chunky translations. Instead, their intuitive method helps you naturally absorb the language by connecting words and visuals to real-world meaning. It's about learning in context, the way language was actually meant to be learned. As a trusted expert with millions of users, Rosetta Stone offers 25 different languages, including Spanish, French, German, Japanese, and more. It really is the ultimate tool for genuine growth. Ready to start learning a new language this spring? Visit rosettastone.com/RS10 today to explore Rosetta Stone and choose the language that's right for you. Go to rosettastone.com/RS10 now and begin your language learning journey.
Value in trying to roll this thing back. So I think you should be invested. I think you should be, actively rooting for Giannis to become a member of the Miami Heat. It's just the type of move that, yes, the East gets stronger from a top-to-bottom perspective, but I don't care about the East from top to bottom. I don't care if I have 15 teams who are playoff competitive. That's not a bad place to be as long as you're among the top of them. But when you start getting knocked down from your top spots, when you start getting teams that are immediately climbing over you and there's not even a real answer to what you're going to be able to accomplish, you can't ascend past. I mean, a lot of these teams, or you find it to be very difficult. It's where you have to start having real conversations about your roster. So yes, I'm going to be paying attention with a close eye, and I'm going to be rooting for the idea that Miami is all in on going and getting Giannis. But on the flip side of that, Ryan Windhorst also on Get Up today, and Boston talking about the Miami Heat being all in instead. Boston on the other side.
I was really skeptical that the Boston Celtics were going to go all in on this. And from what I understand, they have. The Celtics and the Heat are the two teams aggressively going after Giannis. I would say they're the finalists. And if Giannis is going to be traded in the next 24 hours, which I think is a good chance of happening, I think it's either going to be to Boston or Miami. The Boston thing is the one. They were very cautious about putting Jaylen Brown in these an official firm offer. I believe they have. Jaylen Brown is on the table, and Jaylen Brown could get traded for Giannis Antetokounmpo in the short term.
And I don't think that shocks many of us. Like, we already see, a lot of this just kind of coming apart at the seams in Boston, and I guess in the best way possible, but it doesn't feel like Jaylen Brown and Jason Tatum want to continue to play together. I think that's a lot on Jaylen Brown's part. I think the Celtics are probably in that same boat as well, but this is where I get confused on what Milwaukee actually wants out of this. Like, what are you actually trying to accomplish? What are you trying to go for if you're Milwaukee and getting Jaylen Brown? Because you're essentially making a trade for a player that's, what, I think about 2 years younger than Giannis. Sure, I think he's a little bit more dynamic. He has more of a three-point shot. He can score from the mid-range. But you're not going to be competitive whether you get Jaylen Brown or not. The contract is still massive. You're not getting a ton of draft capital back in this deal to make you great over the next few years. Your window does not grow, right? It's not like you're opening a window where it's like, hey, we have flexibility to wait until 2029 to be a good basketball team. If Jaylen Brown's there, you have the flexibility of about 2 or 3 years to make the consideration, hey, can we really make a push to go for this thing? And if not, we need to reset all over again. And I'm going to make the, I think, safe assumption at this point that the way that we look at Giannis right now is that he has more value than Jaylen Brown is probably ever going to have for the rest of his career. I don't think it matters on health. I don't think it matters on what Jaylen Brown's able to accomplish unless he leads, the Bucks to a deep playoff run, essentially by carrying the team on his own back. Giannis is a player that is just going to be more talented, more highly sought after. For the position he plays, probably more impactful to the game, harder to come by, I think, in today's NBA. He's more valuable. You want to get the most out of the assets you can get right now. Jaylen Brown just doesn't make any sense. But this is the fear. If this is a player, clearly, if Boston's hesitant to put Jaylen Brown on the table, and now are, that is a player Milwaukee is looking at. So they're considering it. The fact that Boston is even in the mix with this, I think, is a terrifying sight for the East. We're just going to sit here and cross our fingers and hope that it tends to be Miami pushing a little bit harder for this thing. And we're going to have to pay close attention from now, basically until the draft. And we got to do a little bit of clearance first before we get there, because I told you Love Island update was coming. I would text my girlfriend. Turns out I didn't have to text her at all. She was already listening, apparently. 8:09, I got a text of, hey, I did not say they wouldn't do the same thing. Okay, and I said they wouldn't actually be like, and I quote, oh, I'm done with Corbin now because some guy just grinded on me, end quote. All right, Jax, now I need your opinion. Do you think the girls would have done the exact same thing in that scenario?
Yes, because my girlfriend said the same exact thing that they wouldn't have done. They would have stayed loyal, and I said, no way.
No, they would have immediately, like, and I get what I'm saying. Would it be like, oh, I'm enjoying this? Yeah, they would. Would they have up and been like, I'm taking away the relationship or the connection I've built? It's not really a relationship. They were together for like 3 weeks. But if I take away the connection I've built, yes, I think they absolutely still would have. Also, the update as she was listening was, I can wait until you get home so we can watch. Fantastic. Great that we cleared that up. How amazing. All right, back to Giannis.
Wait, you don't have internet. How is she going to watch?
We're somehow connected. Phone? No, we're connected to a guest internet at our apartment.
Oh, okay.
So we're still surviving, but I'm still paying for this internet, so I would appreciate it if they sent my router.
I was just trying
to
get you out of it, if you wanted to get out of it, but...
Unfortunately, she's well aware. She's well aware that we're connected to the internet, so... But it was a good try by you. I appreciate it. Almost had it there. Almost there. No, still have to sit and watch. But we were talking about Giannis. His idea, again, I'm actively rooting for him to go to the Heat at this point because I do think that this actively changes everything kind of for the Cavs. Like, without Giannis on Boston, you can make an argument that Boston is already a stronger team than the Cavs, and them getting any stronger doesn't change the math of what the Cavs need to be able to accomplish. I would make a strong argument that I think it does. Because I look at Boston right now as a beatable team. Cavs have not had the recipe. They could go and make changes and tweaks this offseason, a lot of them between the margins, and I think still get to much more well-constructed team. They basically exercised the fourth-year option for Craig Porter Jr. today. I don't know if that tells you anything about the guard position or if they just like having Craig on the end of the bench. I'm not sure. But if that means that I'm going to not see Dennis Schroeder this year, I think the way that you line this team up, the way that it's built, that's probably a good thing. Dennis is a great player. He does not fit with the way that the Cavs play basketball. He cannot be on the floor at the exact same time as Donovan Mitchell and James Harden. Either one of them, even if it's just one of them, he needs the ball in his hands in order to succeed. That's where he's great. He is not a pass-first player, although he can rack up assists from time to time, but that's not his first thing. Like, he's not enabling it, and those guys need to have the ball in their hands when they're in the game. They need to be the playmakers. They need to improve on that part of their own game. But, okay, so you go to Craig, who I think can be more of a pass-first option, especially because he doesn't have, the NBA experience that Dennis Schroeder has. He doesn't have the, height that Dennis Schroeder once reached in his career where he was able to be more effective as a scorer. Okay, so you can build your team better around it. You can, go get cheaper up-and-coming wings that maybe can fill some of the role for you. Great, fantastic, amazing. I think right now you look at Boston, you're able to do that. You can create a scenario in your head where you win. If I face a healthy Boston, I don't care what the Cavs do on the margins. I don't care how better of a constructed team they look. You're just getting out talented from a team that is already very sound, very well built without, very clear roster flaws. That is a team that is just well coached, well built, with a lot of talent on it. You're not getting past that team. It changes the math and it changes the equation. The Cavs would then have to either, I think, try to double, triple, go all in and try to match a move like that, which they don't have the luxury to do this offseason. There is not another player anywhere near the caliber of Giannis currently on the open market available for trade. And even if there is one, even if your counter move is LeBron, I don't know that even takes you over the edge in that aspect. It gets you a lot closer. It makes the conversation interesting. But again, then we're just sitting and hoping for what I think is the longest shot we could possibly talk about in the idea that LeBron's actually coming back and reuniting with Cleveland. And again, it feels like that's where we're sitting. We are just sitting here banking and hoping and praying that LeBron wants to come back and that is our savior. I don't think that's a very good bet to make. I don't think that's a good prayer to have right now. You need to take a step back and live in reality if you're Kobe Altman and the Cavs. And live with what you can control and what you are in full power to control. And Giannis going to Boston, I mean, sets up the East is basically, I mean, unachievable. You already have several teams that are better than you. And it is the NBA playoffs where I don't think it's a guarantee the best team wins every single series. That's part of playing a series. That's part of playing the sport. That's why you play the game. So if you're the Cavs right now, in theory, on paper, they had to play a series where they outperform themselves once, maybe twice. Right? Like, I think to beat the Knicks and get to the NBA Finals, which a lot of us would have looked at as an accomplishment and a win of a season, and we would have been good with this team rolling it back. If you had to do that, okay, you had to outperform the Knicks, probably play above your standard, above your capabilities for one series. Is it possible? Yeah, it is. I think you can outplay and outperform and hit a hot streak for one series. I mean, the way that the East is going to end up lining up, if this is the way it's going to go, and I'm looking at three teams who are, I think, undoubtedly probably better than the Cavs are right now in the East if this move gets made, I not only have to play one of the best series of my life, I have to play two. And if I want to win the NBA Finals, I probably have to play three of the best series of my life all in a row. I just don't see that actually working out. I don't see the Cavs reaching that because they haven't ever been able to reach that. If they were a mundane regular season team and always elevated in the playoffs, I'd be like, you know what? Screw it. We never knew what it's going to be. We never know what it's going to be by the time that the Cavs actually get to the playoffs. You're just not aware. So if they're going to be a team that ascends, then they're a team that ascends, and we'll see what happens when you get to playoff time. Never blow up that team. But they are the pure polar opposite of just a great regular season team, and you get to the playoffs, and it's like, where did the team go? What happened to the production they got? So I'm supposed to expect the team who doesn't show up for the playoffs, always underperforms when they get there, are now going to walk into a playoffs next year and play three of the best series they have ever played. Do we understand how illogical that starts to sound? Like, that's not happening. This team, you can get James Harden 25 years and roll back the clock to prime James Harden. That's still not happening. So we are just living in an illogical world where we are just banking on this team doing something that they have never done before, being a team that they have never proven themselves to be. So yeah, I think everybody should be, biting their nails, sitting here watching with angst at what happens to Giannis. Because I think it completely controls the idea of what you're able to accomplish next year. I just don't think that you're going to get that lucky with that many teams changing and you not doing anything to actually bolster your team to get better on the top end when every team is clearly showing you right now getting better, not just in the margins, but in the big picture side of things. We are very slowly watching the NBA, become still, I think, a role player's game and what is, you have to have a really well-built roster. But we see really well-built rosters, the way that teams then try to ascend off of them is go add another star. Go add somebody on the top end. Go try to tip this thing over the scales. Like, part of the Spurs conversation right now is going to be trying to land another big fish. Right? They want to bring in somebody to play with Wemby because they didn't win the NBA Finals. Knicks are fine. I think they have the top-end talent. Celtics would certainly be fine after this. They would have the top-end talent. But I think you're even watching a team like the Thunder start to load up. They're making moves. Very, very odd moves on the back end, getting rid of young players for more draft capital. What are they trying to accomplish? Are they trying to add a great player? It would make sense. Like, Shea is about as good as you could ask for. He's going to show up in series. He's going to be the best player. But they're looking for something else to add alongside of him. Chet's not getting it done. Jalen Williams isn't getting it done. They need another player if they want to be consistent. If they want to be a dynasty. So everybody else is looking to get better at the very top. And it's like, hey, if you're a team like Boston, I'll turn Bailey Shireman into somebody who is just going to be good enough for me. He can play at the back end of the rotation. I'm going to find something out with Peyton Pritchard. I'm going to just make it work with random players like Nemus Keita, who basically had zero NBA career before this season, and then is a guy ripping down like 14 boards a game. They all make it work there so they can afford to go out and get the other players on the top end. Difference is the Cavs are paying a boatload of money to Donovan Mitchell, a boatload of money to James Harden, a boatload of money to Evan Mobley. Jared Allen's getting $30 million a year. And still, you feel like you're almost outmatched at the top end of the talent. You're certainly outmatched by the roster building, and you can't fix it in a season. There is not any type of move you can make to fix this thing in one season. So again, how am I supposed to sit here and have any sort of confidence that is the top of the East gets better, the Cavs still have a shot. So I'm going to continue to sit here and pay attention to the sweepstakes, and I have to root for the Heat. I have to sit here and hope that Miami gets some semblance back, that they end up being a better team, and I have one extra team to compete for, because I still feel like I'm a better team than Miami with Giannis, even if they kept every single player basically that they have on the roster right now. I still think you can take down the Heat. I just don't see that math in the same way if I'm looking at what they can do against Boston. 216-474-0092. Do the Giannis sweepstakes actually change anything for the Cavs? Let's go out to the phones. Our good friend Eric in Cam's Corner is waiting on the line. What's going on, Eric?
What's good, Jake? How you doing, man? Thanks for taking my call.
Of course.
I'm gonna try to unpack this because Giannis, and I love Giannis, but Giannis still doesn't have a jumper. Mm-hmm. And I'm not trying to be negative, but you know. He was at his best when he played with Jrue Holiday. And we haven't seen that version of Giannis Antetokounmpo now in 6 years. He puts up phenomenal numbers, but I'm not shaking in my boots because of him. And I'm liking this to the Orlando Magic. Although they didn't beat Kobe and them, they got hot at the right time. And they went through Boston and Cavs, two of the top teams in the East. And I look at that finals, Jake, and I said to myself, well, New York had an amazing comfort ride. And we looked at all the players that shot well against the Cavs, they didn't put up in the finals. Landry Shamet didn't put it up. Although Mikal Bridges was good, he didn't put it up in the finals. You know, and San Antonio blew some games.
Yeah.
And so they beat themselves, too. So I'm not going to sit here and say New York is some kind of juggernaut and they about to win real off 3-4 championship final or finals appearances in a row. I'm not ready to say that. I still think the Cavaliers are closer than what most people think. We are small forward away. And now that maybe since Giannis is going, you know, is possibly on the move to either Boston. Now, Boston, that's another card, right? But let's say it's Miami. Maybe other teams might be willing to unload some stuff that they previously may not have been open to unloading. And then the Cavaliers can sneak in because they have a way. And if I'm the Cavs, I'm trying to find a Swiss Army knife like Jrue Holiday or some kind of high motor player that can change this team. We need that go guy, and we just don't have it. Small forward and a high motor guy is what the Cavs need to get over the hump, in my opinion. Jay, what say you?
Eric, and I think both those things help them get much better, and I appreciate the call. I mean, listen, I think you get both of those things. I think it helps your roster building. I think it helps you. On the Cavs front of it, you're still capped by the idea that you have two guards who are not good defenders and don't give a high intensity on defense. You have two bigs who are limited offensively. Like, there are so many holes still in a very good team. Like, I don't want to make this sound like I don't believe in the Cavs whatsoever and I think they're going to be the 8 seed. No, I mean, they're obviously a very good team. But you just don't compare. And, like, we can talk about what Giannis was. Obviously, he was much better previously in his career. He was healthy. He was just a better player. But Boston's the type of team where he doesn't need to have a jumper. He doesn't need to be dynamic. They have guys who do that. Again, they're a well-built roster. So, again, the Cavs getting closer, and I don't think the Knicks are a juggernaut. I think they're better than the Cavs. I think they proved that this year. 4 games, told you straight out, they're better than the Cavs. The entirety 18 games that the Cavs played in the playoffs showed you that the Knicks are better.
At Vistaprint, we know you've got that idea for your business. Like the one that nails the trade show, levels up your brand, or makes your team say,
we're really doing this.
But an idea is just an idea until it's printed on
signage, giveaways, custom apparel.
Once it's
in my hands, on my team, out in the world.
Then it's happening.
It's so happening.
Vistaprint has thousands of products, easy design tools, and real support to turn that idea into something possible. Print your possible with code NEW20 for 20% off your first order at Vistaprint.com.
What's up? I'm Draymond Green, and when I'm not hosting the Draymond Green Show, I'm usually working out in the gym and on the court. Anybody can have one good day in the gym, but the key is recovery. That's why athletes are taking Omega XL Sport. Omega XL Sport is a premium recovery supplement powered by green-lipped muscle oil extract with 3 key clean ingredients and backed by over 4 decades of research. It's NSF certified for sport, which is such an amazing distinction. It's free of 290 banned substances trusted by athletes and recognized by major sports organizations. My body has taken a beating over the years, and recovery becomes more important the longer you stay active. That's why Omega XL Sport caught my attention. Omega XL Sport helps support your body's natural recovery process, helping reduce post-workout muscle soreness, inflammation, and supports mobility so you can stay consistent when it matters most. Less time feeling beat up, more time doing what you love. Omega XL Sport. Extra strength recovery now available at GNC and GNC.com.
Summer routines live or die by how easy they are. And honestly, if something takes too much effort, I'm out. That's why Grunes is my go-to. It's one daily pack of gummies covering my greens, vitamins, and minerals. Plus, it has 6 grams of prebiotic fiber, which is more than 2 cups of broccoli. No mixing powders, no giant pills, no hassle. Just rip open the pack and I'm done. They taste good and it makes it easy to stay on top of my health, even when life gets busy. Save up to 52% off with code PODCAST at Grunes.co. That's code PODCAST at Grunes.co.
Spring is finally here, and it's that time of year when plans start becoming real. Trips are getting booked, the calendar is filling up, and the energy is shifting. Make this season count. By starting right now, you'll hit summer already feeling more confident speaking and understanding a brand new language. Whether you're prepping for a dream vacation, reconnecting with your family heritage, or just finally checking learn a new language off your bucket list, Rosetta Stone is the way to go. They've been the trusted leader in language learning for over 30 years because they skip the boring stuff. There's no memorizing random vocabulary lists or leaning on chunky translations. Instead, their intuitive method helps you naturally absorb the language by connecting words and visuals to real-world meaning. It's about learning in context, the way language was actually meant to be learned. As a trusted expert with millions of users, Rosetta Stone offers 25 different languages, including Spanish, French, German, Japanese, and more. It really is the ultimate tool for genuine growth. Ready to start learning a new language this spring? Visit rosettastone.com/RS10 today to explore Rosetta Stone and choose the language that's right for you. Go to rosettastone.com/RS10 now and begin your language learning journey.
Las Vegas was built for stars. And on August 22nd, two of boxing's biggest take center stage. Raleigh Romero never follows the script.
This is my game.
Teofimo Lopez has never needed one.
This guy's got a big mouth.
For years, they've had plenty to say.
All you do is talk.
But with world championship gold on the line, can they back it?
Teo, I'm here. I'm going all in.
It's time to put up or shut up. Raleigh Romero versus Teofimo Lopez. August 22nd.
I'll shut you up.
Watch on DAZN and DAZN on Prime Video.
You can say they're not that far off. I mean, sure, they played in a series against them in the Eastern Conference Finals. They're one series away from being better than the Knicks. They were also 4 wins away from being better than the Knicks. They got nothing in that series. They did not contend. And some of that is Cavs being tired, Cavs not shooting well, Knicks shooting incredibly. But how many times do we get that excuse of, oh, well, the other team was just hot. We ran into a buzzsaw. At some point, again, I've brought this up, you'd like to be the buzzsaw. Why can't you ever be that? This idea, there's some buzz going around about the idea of not only the Browns shopping Shador, taking, not even shopping, that shouldn't be the word that I use, retract that statement, get rid of it, taking calls maybe on Shador, this idea that it could be potentially happening, Daryl threw out the idea, a theory that maybe Shador isn't here by the time week one starts. We dug all the way into it and obviously looked at it from a Browns perspective and how it makes sense for us. I do want to flip that and kind of turn it into the Shador perspective of this, because I imagine that if a trade gets done, there will be obviously not only backlash, but a lot of things coming in part from the Shador camp, whether or not they want him gone. There's a lot of buzz where if he doesn't win the starting job, they want him to be traded anyway to a place where he could have the potential to play, because clearly they don't feel the Browns are giving him an opportunity. Here's the thing that with Shador, I just don't think you're getting a better opportunity right now. You can make an argument that in the long term, being away from the Cleveland Browns, trying to be a quarterback of the National Football League, history has been on the side of quarterbacks being elsewhere and succeeding. Obviously, all of us know that here. We've been waiting for a quarterback to emerge. We've been waiting for the organization to develop one and put a guy in a really good spot. But I think in Shador's case, the argument that you're going to go somewhere else and have a better chance to be a starting quarterback, even long-term in the NFL, you're just not guaranteed opportunities to start for a team, period. Like, there's guys who obviously get the opportunity. We are talking about most teams in the NFL having to play 2 quarterbacks most years anyway. But it's not to say you're just going to get the opportunity. It's somebody who is drafted in the 5th round. Like, that is just the reality of the situation. Whether or not you are in the position to be a 5th round pick or not, even if the talent says you're more than that, the guys who we typically see get 2nd, 3rd opportunities are these first round picks, right? The Geno Smiths of the world, the Sam Darnolds of the world. These guys get multiple shots. Kyler Murray, all of them, even Mac Jones, likely to get a second opportunity. All guys who are drafted very early in the first round. I can't even think off the top of my head guys being drafted in the fifth round or later who have gotten another shot after starting somewhere else. It just doesn't happen without proving that you are the likes of Tom Brady. You don't get that extra opportunity. You don't get that extra chance to actually go through and show your opportunity. Right now, Shador has an opportunity to compete for a starting job. That is about as good as you can ask for and as good of an opportunity you have to prove yourself as an NFL starter. The only argument I think you make in the pushback that has any legitimacy to it is the idea that Shador probably shouldn't have started out of the gate. Probably should have had a year or two under his belt to just completely develop, not have to worry about anything, and just work on getting better. And then he would get the opportunity, when ready, to step into that limelight and actually show it. But I know for a fact that the Shador fan base wouldn't be arguing for that. They'd be arguing for him to get onto the field, and he should have been drafted earlier. He should be playing. He is capable of being an NFL starter. So what team are you going to right now? If a trade goes through, what team are you landing on that you have a better chance to become the starting quarterback for that team? Because I can rifle through a few of them in my head, and not a lot of them make sense without the idea of an injury to their starting quarterback occurring during training camp or some point leading up to the season. I think you have, honestly, a tougher chance at starting if you're a Miami Dolphin. I think you have just as tough of a chance of starting if you go and play for the Jets, if Geno Smith ends up being able to play in week one. I think you have about as tough of a chance if you're going to play in Arizona. As long as Jacoby Brissett is there and Carson Beck they just drafted, you're going to have a tough chance to play. Like, all of these teams that are objectively bad still have starting quarterbacks in place. You are still battling for the job, and at this point, getting there that late, all of these teams are looking to take first-round quarterbacks. Like, your opportunity to actually go through and start, your best chance is the idea that Shador gets traded to the Pittsburgh Steelers. And I can almost guarantee you, Andrew Berry and the Browns are not trading a quarterback that they feel has any opportunity to be any good to a division rival. Right? You might say, oh, well, they traded Joe Flacco to the Cincinnati Bengals. A 41-year-old Joe Flacco, a guy who is not going to do, anything in terms of starting. They trade him to a team that currently has Joe Burrow. He just happened to be injured. They're not making a trade, a young quarterback inside of the division. And I don't know that there's that great of teams waiting in the wings who don't have what they would view as better options. The Los Angeles Rams just took Ty Simpson. I'm sure they view him in higher regard right now than they view Shador Sanders. They used a first-round pick on him. Didn't do that a year ago. They didn't do anything to trade up and make that happen a year ago. Reality just strikes it. I think best case scenario for both teams, legitimately in the way that I view it, is Shador being here, giving the Browns an opportunity, even if it is, the lowest, if you viewed it 1% lower, anything than that, the Shador being your quarterback of the future, still the best case and the only case scenario for that to happen for the Browns this year. A player on the field to be your quarterback of the future. Browns should take that and run with it in immediate. For Shador, you shouldn't be wanting to pass up anybody in his camp, any of his fans shouldn't want him to be passing up an opportunity to start in the NFL. Again, there are so many players, so many fifth round picks that don't even get that opportunity to go through and show what they have on the field. They end up getting cut. They end up playing in the CFL, the UFL, anything else, and never get the opportunity to start a game. Right now, if you're Shador, with the new head coach in place, with a fresh slate in front of you, this is about as good as an opportunity as you can dream of. You might get one other places. You might have just as good as a chance. But even sitting behind Deshaun Watson, even being here after week one of the season, I don't know that you have a better pathway to starting on any other team. Again, an offense that you are currently learning, an offense that it feels like, at least the outside looking in, you have a pretty decent grasp of. Not only is Deshaun, if he gets the starting job, going to be on an incredibly short leash, because I don't think anybody here is going to allow that to play. I think the fans will be crying for anything but Deshaun if he ends up getting named the starter. The idea that he plays well is a long shot as it is. And you're talking about one of the most injured quarterbacks over the last 4 years of the NFL. He's played 19 games. I think if there's one thing Cleveland fans are banking on the idea that Deshaun starts, is that he's probably not going to be healthy for 17 weeks of the season, 18 weeks of the season, to get you through all the way of him being your quarterback. I'm not making that bet. I don't know a lot of people that would be willing to make that bet. So again, you'll have an opportunity to play. Even if that's not an opportunity to continue to be the Browns franchise quarterback, you can at least do something to, I mean, garner another attention in the NFL, maybe land a starting job a year from now. Maybe there is a team like Pittsburgh where if the Browns do end up cutting Shador, maybe you have the opportunity to go, you know, see him play. Maybe you get and play your way into a second opportunity. But you shouldn't be passing up guaranteed ones. Like, this is about as good as it gets. Again, I pretty much view, even if you lose the starting job in week one, a guaranteed opportunity to get back onto the field in some capacity. An opportunity to continue to look good. This is going to be something that helps your chances of being an NFL starter. And if you're not ready for that task, if you can't live up to it, and you think you're going to get poor play out of Shador this year, last year you can write off is, I mean, no offensive line, no wide receivers, no real pass catching options out of Harold Fannin. All completely fair arguments to say give Shador another chance. We've been making them for months on end. Again, if you can't make it work this year, I mean, how many opportunities are you going to get to be the quarterback of a team that, oh, well, they have everything in place and you're the guy they want to start? I know you're going to be looking for better options if you're that team than Shador Sanders and what he's been able to prove in the NFL at this point. You're looking for proven commodities. You're looking for true NFL starters that just don't have a job. That's what all of these teams end up doing. Or guys who had, I mean, ridiculous potential. Guys who are worthy of being a top five pick in an NFL draft, in a good NFL draft, to go out and play for their team and get that second opportunity. So most of the scenarios you're going to be put into are going to be with, I mean, less than ideal scenarios, less than ideal wide receiver rooms, offensive lines, defenses to back you up. Again, this is where it is mutually beneficial for both Shador and the Browns to be in the exact same camp. Get him on the field this year. Get him playing. Have him on the roster. Any of those scenarios, any of those combinations lead you down a path of best case scenario for both sides involved. It's why I'd be confused in some capacity on the Browns even looking for this trade. Again, I can logic my way there. I can get to the idea where it makes some sense for them just based on the quarterback room, especially with Brendan Sorsby added into the mix. Yes, it adds up where the Browns would want to trade Shador. But I still think best case scenario for you is to put him on the field and let him play. Figure out what you have. If he ends up being a bridge quarterback for you, great. I mean, if he can play games and make the rest of the offense, I mean, addressable, right? If I can just look at it and say, well, the offensive line isn't good enough right now, and I know because Shador's playing well enough at quarterback, or the wide receiver room's just not very good because Shador's playing well enough at quarterback, that is a positive for you. You need that in the Browns. You need to evaluate, at the very least, all of the talent around the quarterback spot as you evaluate the quarterback spot. But you're just not going to have so many of those opportunities if you're Shador. You should be looking for an opportunity to start, looking for an opportunity to prove yourself to any team in the NFL, especially the Browns. You're here. You have the opportunity. You have, I think, a fan base that mostly supports you, mostly backs the idea of give Shador an opportunity. Be open-minded. We're going to sit here and talk about 2027 quarterbacks because it's the most likely outcome. But I don't know very many people sitting around here that it's like, oh, if Shador played great, yeah, I'm just not in. Right, if he ended up being able to play pretty well, I think most people are even in the cautious optimistic of, oh, well, I mean, he could draft somebody else in the first round. You could go get a Jeremiah Smith type of player. You could add to this room. You could make it even better. And maybe Shador is serviceable. We've watched serviceable quarterbacks be effective. But yeah, I don't think that getting traded, moving elsewhere, is going to boost your chances of being an NFL starter.
At Vistaprint, we know you've got that idea for your business. Like the one that nails the trade show, levels up your brand, or makes your team say,
we're really doing this.
But an idea is just an idea until it's printed on
signage, giveaways, custom apparel.
Once it's
in my hands, on my team, out in the world.
Then it's happening.
It's so happening.
Vistaprint has thousands of products, easy design tools, and real support to turn that idea into something possible. Print your possible with code NEW20 for 20% off your first order at Vistaprint.com.
What's up? I'm Draymond Green, and when I'm not hosting the Draymond Green Show, I'm usually working out in the gym and on the court. Anybody can have one good day in the gym, but the key is recovery. That's why athletes are taking Omega XL Sport. Omega XL Sport is a premium recovery supplement powered by green-lipped mussel oil extract with three key clean ingredients and backed by over four decades of research. It's NSF certified for sport, which is such an amazing distinction. It's free of 290 banned substances trusted by athletes and recognized by major sports organizations. My body has taken a beating over the years, and recovery becomes more important the longer you stay active. That's why Omega XL Sport caught my attention. Omega XL Sport helps support your body's natural recovery process, helping reduce post-workout muscle soreness, inflammation, and supports mobility so you can stay consistent when it matters most. Less time feeling beat up, more time doing what you love. Omega XL Sport. Extra strength recovery now available at GNC and GNC.com.
Las Vegas was built for stars. And on August 22nd, two of boxing's biggest take center stage. Raleigh Romero never follows the script.
This is my game.
Teofimo Lopez has never needed one.
This guy's got a big mouth.
For years, they've had plenty to say.
All you do is talk.
But with world championship gold on the line, can they back it?
Teo, I'm here. I'm going all in.
It's time to put up or shut up. Raleigh Romero versus Teofimo Lopez. August 22nd.
I'll shut you up.
Watch on DAZN and DAZN on Prime Video.
Your line just went down. Production stopped. A supervisor wants answers. And someone's digging through a binder for the maintenance history. Every one of those minutes costs money. And most of the time, that breakdown could have been prevented. That's where MaintainX comes in. MaintainX catches the failure before it happens. Preventative maintenance plans on every key asset to improve reliability. Work orders assigned and tracked right from your phone. Everyone from the floor to the front office is in the loop. Companies on MaintainX have cut unplanned downtime by over 30% and saved thousands on parts and labor every year. See what MaintainX can do for your operation. Try MaintainX free at MaintainX.com, an Autodesk company.
Girl, let's get real. Some pads are just diapers with a good PR team. But not the new Kotex BioCare. That's because Kotex BioCare helps defend against odor and irritants. And it's the first and only pad with this pH proactive system that helps optimize the pad's pH. Just think of it as self-care for down there. Check out Kotex.com for more details on the all-new Kotex, completely redesigned to meet your needs. You asked, we heard.